Will you join me in prayer? O God of our people and Lord of every nation, let your word ring out from the mountains and your spirit shine forth in the earth, so that all may hear your teaching and all may do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our peace. Amen. A reading from John 1, verses 1 through 5, the New International Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, as Shelley said, this is a new year in the liturgical calendar, and it also marks the first Sunday of Advent. And if we were using the Advent readings, the lectionary readings, which the Old Testament, there's a psalm, and there's the New Testament reading and an epistle. The psalm for this week would have been, it is Psalm 122. And its open line says, I was glad when they say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. So I rejoice. Let us go to the house of the Lord. So in that same spirit of being glad and rejoicing, I'm going to do something different with you this morning. So you see, I figure, if you can cheer for your favorite sport event or now in football season, we can cheer for Christ. Amen? So, like a good old-fashioned cheer, if any sports event, we're going to do that this morning. You ready? So give me an A. Give me a D. Give me a V. Give me an E. Give me an N. Give me a T. And what does that spell? Yeah. And what does that mean? Prepare your hearts. God among us. What you say, Sherry? Come into the earth. Anybody else? Waiting. You all have it, some version of it. We said Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, and it means arrival or appearance. Advent is about, you could say, and I love this guy, Len Sweet, I got this from him. I'm stealing it from my mentor, I'm allowed. He said, Advent is about fleshing out of the divine becoming flesh. Isn't that beautiful? Fleshing out of the divine becoming flesh. The fleshing out of God taking on human flesh. And now, I think you and I will agree that's a very incredible story. So during the next 4 weeks of Advent, these 4 weeks of Advent, we are going to be celebrating and anticipating the arrival of God in the flesh. And it's such a big deal. We're going to slow it down a bit. And I mean slow it down to the point that we're going to look at a mind-bending concept that God was fully human and fully divine. And you might say, yeah, we know that. You know, I've been Christian for all my life, most of my life. I know that. This Jesus dude who came, he's also fully human and fully divine. But strip away what we think we know for a bit. Do we really know that? Do we really know what all of that means to us today? You know, I can remember some years ago, I think it's probably my first or second semester in seminary, I actually went to, I don't remember those days, they used to have the United Methodist Women Conference retreat up in Warren's, up in the camp, in which they call it Camp Warren's, Warren Willis Camp, up in Fruitland place. But anyway, I went 1 year because the church I was going to, they were big in the UMC, just like you girls here. And I've always heard about it. I've never been on a retreat with just with a women's retreat. So I went all by myself to drive all the way up to this place I don't know. And the first night at dinner, they asked the question, who is here for the first time? My hand went up with so many others. And who was here by themselves? I was the only hand that went up by themselves because these girls have been going together as groups for years. And after that, every meal, people start to gather around me. These women would come around me to make sure I'm not feeling alone. And at one table, at one meal, this one, they're two sisters actually, just gravitated to me and wouldn't leave me. And then in conversation, they realized that I'm fresh in seminary. So she figured I know everything. Little did they know. And one day we're walking after the meal, and she said to me, how do you know there's a God? The question took me off guard, but also the fact that the person, because this was an African-American woman asking me this question. And now when my naive self thinks that every African-American person grew up in church, and now asked this woman in the public authorities asking me this, I was shocked. How do you know there's a God? And I'm telling, it must be the Holy Spirit that does answer the question, because I have just taken my systematic theology, which is breaking down the first big volume. I was going to bring the books. Volume was talking about God. The second one volume was talking about Jesus. The third volume, they think like they talk about the Holy Spirit. I just finished the first volume. And it must have been God in his wisdom through his Holy Spirit had me answer that question somehow, because she seemed to have gotten it. And it didn't stop. Then when I come home, my little Felicia was asking me the same question. I'm like, okay, God, is this a test? This going to be in the exam? But when you think about it, you know, we grow up knowing automatically there's a God, something bigger than us. And I've been praying, and what I've been trying to do these past 4 years I'm with you is to get you to see that it's not some abstract thing out there, but it's somebody who's personally involved with you. It's a person. We're in a relationship with something that's real. By the mystery of faith, we come to know who God is. We come to know who Jesus is, fully human and fully divine. And that's an incredible story to explain. It's not easy to explain until you experience it. It's better when you experience that you can explain it a little bit better. It's even when you try to look the popular culture in this world, try to explain this through movies and otherwise, they too fell short. For example, in the movie, The Matrix, if some of you have ever seen The Matrix, it features a messianic figure who is going to free the enslaved human race by entering in their digital world and defeating the machine holding them captive. That's the gist of what that whole Matrix, it was a big popular show in the day. I need this guy, The Matrix, he does this by eventually dying and returning even stronger. They're trying to put it next to our Jesus. But when he enters their world, it is just a digital imprint of his physical being. And the digital imprint has unlimited powers, they say, whereas his physical body is just like ours. But Jesus wasn't like that. It wasn't like that part of God. It wasn't like part of God entering to creation and turning back with supernatural powers. It wasn't as though he was some digital imprint. He was real flesh and blood. Sometimes we just have to let the mystery be the mystery. Amen. We can't really explain it all. We come short. So this season of Advent, we'll be looking at the first chapter of John. The Gospel of John, in many ways, seems very mysterious. Very mysterious. I was taking that thing just hit me a little bit. Mysterious. If we look at John, the whole structure of John was very organized. It comes with a whole about the seven. He gave seven sections, seven the I am, seven, seven, seven. The whole thing about John, if you really read it properly, it's all divided up in sevens. And we know what seven means, completion. It is finished. It's perfect. But this mystery that comes with Advent isn't such a bad thing. Sometimes we forget how wondrous and mysterious Christmas is. This series that we are going on will give us the opportunity to be surprised by God's entry into the world. I wonder if you realize that there are 184 verses in the birth narrative in the Second Testament. And these 184 verses presuppose I repeat the words of 170 verses of the 18 books in the First Testament. But you know me, I like to push things a little bit, especially those we're familiar with. And so in this series, we're starting today, Among Us, A Christmas Story. We're going to do it according to John, and not just John, the whole thing. We're going to hear the narrative, the birth narrative, as nobody reads at Christmas time. Nobody reads John birth narratives. So that's where we're going to sit at. And I'm even going to take it even further. We're only going to do the first chapter. You ready? The first chapter in John has the most profound statement about the incarnation. We're right in the beginning. We see that this story is the most storyless form you can ever look at. This account takes God, takes how, show us how God takes the longest word short. It has no ox in it. It has no donkeys in it. It has no straws in it. Only philosophy. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word become flesh and dwell among us. Friends, the Christian purpose at Advent season is to focus our attention on the great reality that describes in verses 1 and anchors in 14. Not yet, thank you. I'll tell you. So in verse 1, it ends with these words. The word was God. And in the beginning of verse 14, it says, the word becomes flesh. That's the incarnation right there. No other gospels spill it out just as plain as that. Everything we hear and believe about Christian depends upon this, that Jesus, the God, Jesus Christ is God and Jesus Christ is man, fully God, fully man. And everything depends on this. So even though Christmas as a Christian festival may not be taught in the Bible, but the Christian meaning given to Christmas is the very foundation of the Bible. Can I get an amen with that? Because if we don't get that, we miss everything. They said in the beginning. Genesis 1 says in the beginning. If we don't realize that Jesus was there with the Father from the beginning to the end, we have missed it. That's the Christmas story. It's the very foundation of the Bible. It's all about Jesus. He said, I am nothing without the Father who sent me. If we can't grasp that this divinity of Jesus and the fullness of his humanity. So why did he come? Why did God, we know that Jesus is what reveals God to humanity. In other words, he came down so that we can see what it looks like. Even though he told Moses, if you see my face, you cannot live. He told Moses, here, come, I'm going to show you and show him the glory, but you only show him the backside of him. Because you can't see his face. But things have gone so awry, just like it is right now. This world has gotten so dark. God is saying, I love you so much. I can't leave you as you are. So let me come. Let me come and hang out. I love the message, hang out in our neighborhoods. Those five verses have so many rich metaphors. It will take me maybe the rest of your afternoon just to unpack all of them. You have the light, the darkness. Just follow those metaphors. You get so much. There's a whole sermon in itself. Light and darkness. A whole sermon in itself. In the beginning, a whole sermon by itself. But all I want you to get today is to grasp the concept that Jesus Christ is fully flesh and fully human. And he chose to come and be among us. So it can reveal God to us, his Father. Now, if we look, at the first five verses of John, we hold that truth together that he's fully divine and fully human being. the flow of the passage is such that if we were to virtually, Mike, you could put it up now. If we were to look at it visually, you might help us to see, to what, map it out a bit. The first two verses look something like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The author here is making a profound statement of asserting the very start of the gospel, as I said, since the beginning of time and even before time, there was an entity existent known as the Word. And the Word was not only with God, but was God. Amen. And this Word, as we see in verse later on, was the Son of Jesus Christ. That was the whole point of John's gospel, to tell us that Jesus is the Son of God. Further, we see in blustering passage that John uses a language that parallels the story of creation, yes, in verse 1. So while Matthew starts with the gospel of genealogy, Mark was brought Jesus in fully on the scene as fully man, all grown up. And Luke informs us in his research of methodology, but John begins from the beginning. He's telling us from the beginning that Jesus is God. I know some of you, maybe, I don't know if any of you in here are sitting on the fence whether or not Jesus' divinity exists or not. But it is important to understand the case John is making here. There's no beating around the bush or trying to explain the meaning away. It is clear that those who do not believe in the divinity of Jesus have to twist this verse to support their point of view. For example, I'm not picking on any faith, but the example of the New World Translation used by the Jehovah Witnesses. Not picking on any, attacking any faith here. But it's worth pointing out that the plain meaning of the text, John begins his gospel by presenting us with a strong assertion that we are forced to make a choice. We are forced to make a choice. Do we believe that the Word became flesh or not? And this is the question that is worth wrestling with as we prepare for this holiday season, this season of Advent. So in just 4 weeks, the main event will be up on us. Before we know it, it's Christmas. Most of all, if not all of you already start putting up decorations and going shopping, making lists for who you're going to shop for, who you're going to visit. It's started. Making dinner schedules. But what is it for? Is it the cultural tradition that we are brought into? Or is there something deeper? Deeper beneath the glamour and the glitz around us, the God who entered into the world and took on flesh for the sake of your salvation? Is it something deeper? He didn't just come. He's coming for you. That is the choice that John presents us. And this is why those 5 verses are still so relevant. As the great Christmas carol declares, yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all the glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Come, let us adore him. Amen. Come. Let us adore him.